to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. We'll look again at verse 6, another one of the names of the Lord that are found in that short but loaded verse, Isaiah 9, verse 6. This morning I'm going to begin our study by asking you a very, very personal question. That's dangerous in a group, but I'm going to try it anyway. If it's too personal, you don't have to answer. You don't have to indicate with your hand lifted up, but I'm going to ask it to you anyway, and I would encourage you to respond if you're willing to. How many of you have ever been to a counselor? How many of you have ever sought counsel from someone else for some area of your life? Okay. Now, keep your hand up. You've already dared to do that. Now, we'll all look around and see who's got their hand up. Now, not to embarrass you. Okay. These, according to the Scripture, are the wise people in our midst. That's right. You see, there's a very wrong idea going around that it is only weak and stupid and sick people who seek counsel, when in fact, it is exactly the opposite that is true. Listen to what God's Word says. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to counsel." Proverbs 15, 22 says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Proverbs 28, 26, "He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe." Proverbs 15:5, "A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence." That verse reminds me of one time I heard of the four stages of the development of knowledge. The first one is infancy, that's babies, where they know nothing. The second is childhood, where they know more and more and more. The third is the teenager who knows everything. And then finally there is maturity, when we realize we know only a few things. Proverbs 19:20 says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise." I'm wondering if there's anyone here this morning who would like to be wise, who would like to have wisdom coursing through your person, affecting every area of your life. And you may say, well, how do we become wise? Well, in order to be wise, the Bible says we need input. We need counsel. We need instruction and teaching and insight from beyond ourselves. But herein lies a danger. Not just any counsel, and not just from any source. You see, it is possible to seek counsel and still be a fool if the counsel we receive is false or misleading. And so it very much depends on where we go and to whom we go for counsel if we're going to be wise. I remember a number of years ago I was counseling with a couple who were having very severe marital conflict. And as we worked through the biblical principles, their marriage began to slowly turn around. They began to discover that they didn't have to crumble, that they were able to rebuild and to do it with the joy of the Lord in their lives. They were beginning to experience healing in their marriage, and it was exciting to watch that early turnaround and change in the direction of their marriage. Well, unfortunately, during that time, I had my four-week vacation. When I came back from vacation, I discovered that during my absence, they had gone to another counselor who came at their problem from another direction. This person told them that they were incompatible and that divorce was their only route to happiness. That couple never recovered. Today they are in major pain. This pattern is all too common in the world. It's very common in the realm of finances. Many people that I know have lost lots of money because they trusted the counsel of some advisor who led them down the wrong path. The same is true with family issues. Any of you ever heard of Dr. Spock? Your parents did. You see, Dr. Spock was the one who wrote the basic training manual on raising children after World War II, and he guided an entire generation of parents of the baby boomers. And in North America, an entire generation grew up under the advice of Dr. Spock. Now, he is recently, in his old age, most people aren't aware of this. Is there a ring in this microphone, or is it just me hearing it? Many people aren't aware that Dr. Spock, in his old age, has apologized for his views. He admits that he was erroneous in the advice he gave, especially with his philosophy on discipline. And what brought him to the conclusion? He realized that an entire generation was screwed up because they followed his advice. Well, I say, I'm sorry, Dr. Spock, it's too late. It's too late. The damage has already been done. The generation has been twisted and the ramifications are startling. There was a case in Canada a few years ago where a young guy went to see a counselor because of his emotional problems. And after he saw the counselor, he went out and committed suicide. Charges were pressed against the counselor for giving advice that would lead a young person, that would drive him to such despair as to commit suicide. Now, we don't know. They still don't know what actually happened, but the charges were pressed. You see, who we take counsel from is probably one of the most significant decisions we ever make. Because usually people who go to a counselor, who are looking for counsel, are very much aware of their need. And when we're aware of that, the input we receive at that moment is almost always followed. So who you listen to as a counselor is crucial. Psalm 107, verses 10 and 11 say this: some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the word of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Dear friends, we're talking about important stuff this morning. I've watched so many people over the years refuse to hear God's counsel for their lives, or if they heard it, refuse to implement it in their lives. I have watched so many such lives, exactly as the psalmist described them, sitting in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in the iron chains of their stubbornness. Now, if there were two financial advisors here this morning, one on my left, one on my right, and if I could introduce them to you, the one here on my left has counseled many, many people, and 50% of his clients, as a result, have gone through bankruptcy. The one on my right has also counseled many people, and 50% of his people, have all experienced a 50% annual return on their investment. Now, if that's all you know about the two, which one of them would you go to for counsel? You may say, well, it's pretty obvious, Pastor Dave, but the problem is we can't know in advance which one they are. Otherwise, we'd all go. And I say, can't you know in advance? Maybe not with finances, but we sure can in a lot of other areas. In Psalm 1, we read, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree that is planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You see the imagery? Those who sink their roots into the Word of God, the truth of God, the counsel of God, are like that tree by the Nile. You can look this way and that way and see desert, but here is there's this luscious truth, fruit-bearing tree, bearing all kinds of fruit and green. Why? Because it's got its roots into something that isn't out there. And that's what God wants our lives to be like. Now, the agricultural imagery in this passage isn't just symbolic. Do you think God knows anything about agriculture? He made the place. He should know a couple things about it. In Isaiah 28, interestingly, after giving specific instructions for how the farmer can successfully produce various crops with different methods for each crop, Isaiah declares in verse 29, "All this also comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom." Whether it's agriculture or the issue that is bothering you this morning, we have someone who is able to counsel us with wisdom that will bring about fruit and success in our lives. In Job 12, verse 13, we read, "To God belong wisdom and power. Counsel and understanding are His." Proverbs 8, 14, God said, "Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power." Psalm 32, verse 8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you." Psalm 73, 24, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me to glory." That's not just afterwards out there. After I hear your counsel, after I put your counsel into practice, after I do what you told me to do, I'll experience your glory. I'll experience your wholeness. I'll experience your health, your life, your vibrancy. That's what happens when God's people hear Him. You see, throughout the ages, people who have earnestly sought God have discovered that He not only is full of absolute wisdom, but He is also more than willing to share that counsel and wisdom with us. It's not really a surprise, therefore, that one of His names is Counselor. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor." Counselor. Now, if there was a financial counselor who knew exactly how all the financial markets in the world would perform for this next year, would you want to get his input? You can respond to me. Some of you say, "Oh, I shouldn't say yes, he's going to look like I'm money hungry." Every one of us would if we knew that. If there was a medical doctor who was able to diagnose and direct people towards healing for every sickness and disease, would you make an appointment? If there was a psychologist who was famous for completely understanding the human emotional makeup and releasing you to be free from all guilt, from fear, from anxiety, from depression, and all other emotional ills, would you go see him? If there was a marriage and family therapist who could help dissolve the tension in your home and help you experience the full love and acceptance and affirmation that every member in your family longs for, would you invite that person over? If there was an occupational consultant who was famous for helping people find the perfect job to suit them, would you register your name? If someone knew the ideal boyfriend or girlfriend for you, I know I got the young people's attention, who knew the perfect mate for you, would you be interested in getting their input? If there was someone who would always be there to listen to the deepest concerns of your soul and provide you with genuine comfort, would you call them? Well, there is such a person, dear friends. There is such an expert, such a wise, insightful, perceptive, and knowledgeable individual, such a compassionate soul. There is such a counselor who is guaranteed success rate for all the areas I've mentioned and more. And this counselor happens to be my senior partner. He is. Now, before you all rush the office trying to sign up for an appointment, let me give you his title, his office, his hours, and how to make an appointment and what to expect if you get him. His name is Jesus. His title is Wonderful Counselor. His office hours? Anytime. Anytime, anywhere, any place. And how do you reach him? Psalm 50, verse 15, he says, "Call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me." Jeremiah 33, 3, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things which you do not know." Call to me. What is his strategy? John 16:7, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus was the Counselor. His name is Counselor, and yet he passes that name on to the Holy Spirit who was going to come after him. I've heard many Christians say, oh, if only Jesus were here. If only he were here like he was with his disciples. Well, he is, friends. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the Holy Spirit of Jesus. That's who he is. And the same Almighty God who fashioned this entire universe and understands and knows everything about everything is the same one who came into flesh. The Bible says, that verse says, unto us a child is born. The Son was given. It doesn't say born. The child was born. The Son was given. The miraculous unity of flesh and God in Jesus. This great God who understands everything became flesh. And as he walked this earth, you read the Gospels, you see him passing out that counsel, that wisdom, that life to everybody he came in contact with. And no, he can't be here physically. But his strategy is now, by sending the Holy Spirit, he can be with every single one of us, every single minute, every single day, everywhere we are. Amen? That's his strategy. And what is his manual? What book, what resource does he use to pass this wisdom on to us? In John 14:26, Jesus said, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Remind you. He can't remind you of something you don't know. I remember one of my professors in Bible college praying before a class, and it really bugged me at the time. He said, Lord, help the students remember everything they've studied. I didn't like that prayer because I didn't study much. I wanted the Lord to remind me of things I hadn't studied. Jesus said, no, the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I have taught you. Where are you going to get the original stuff? The law of the Lord, the Word of God. Somebody just this week, we were talking about how I was able to answer an individual in a certain time when they had asked a question and had Scripture instantly come to my mind and was able to give them an answer. And this person knows that I've got a horrible memory, and they said, well, how did you do that? And I remember years ago, somebody once told me, they said, Dave, we are like a computer. Our strategy, our task, our part of the task is to get the information onto the hard disk. Okay, we install it. We read it. We memorize it. We meditate upon it. It is then the Holy Spirit's job to bring it up on the screen. And I found that in my life, that's how it works. We install it. We meditate. We work into our mind, into our hearts, the Word of God. When we need it, whether it's with the crisis with the child in discipline, or the issue of finances where we have to make a decision, or the relational conflict that comes, or the hassle that presents itself, whatever, in those moments, the Holy Spirit, the wonderful Counselor, will take that information off the hard disk, bring it up to the screen of our minds, and apply it to our lives, and grant us the way of wisdom. That's how he works. He uses the Word of God. John 15:26, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. The Holy Spirit leads us back to Jesus. It leads us back to the words of Jesus. It leads us back to the truth that God has already declared. Last year when I was helping a young couple work through some tough marriage issues, they were growing lots in their marriage. Their marriage was healing. And just before they repatriated to their home country, they expressed deep concern in my office. They said, Dave, this has been so good. We've watched God bring about a measure of healing in our lives. We've got good instruction, good teaching, good counsel, whatever. But now we're concerned because we're leaving here and we won't be able to have you as our counselor anymore. And I said, isn't that wonderful? And they thought I was mocking them. And I said, no, I'm serious. This is wonderful. And they said, why? And I pointed out to them that day what I'm sharing with you this morning. You do not have to depend upon a pastor, upon another person. Although God uses us in each other's lives, we have a wonderful counselor who knows far more than any pastor, who understands far more than any human, who knows exactly the details of your life that no other human being will, and this one is with you and will go with you wherever you go, as long as you live. I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. This couple picked up on it, and I've heard from them since in America. They have applied that. They've gotten into the Word of God. They said, Lord, be my teacher, be my counselor, be my instructor. And God has continued that healing in their marriage, in their lives, in their home, and beyond. Dear friends, if you want an appointment with the wonderful counselor, you don't have to call me. You're welcome to, but you don't have to. If you want an appointment with the wonderful counselor, grab your Bible, open your heart, and ask him sincerely to lead you into all truth. And if you do, he has promised he will. But be careful, because the counsel you receive could revolutionize your life. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning that you have revealed yourself as the wonderful counselor. Thank you that you do not let us dangle down here in our ignorance, in our uncertainty, in our pain, but that you have provided yourself, you provided your word, you provided your wisdom and your counsel. And Lord, we ask that as we seek to know you, as we seek to be like that tree, flourishing, bounteous, fruitful, alive, oh God, we pray that we would realize where our health comes from, that we would realize where our life, our wisdom comes from, and help us to regularly run to you, to call to you, to seek you, to come and feed us with your truth, to come and fill us as your lamps.